good to see everyone out tonight, and we're glad that you're here. It's a lot easier to talk and to preach to people than it is to empty pews, so I do appreciate you very much being here together. I also appreciate some of the kind words. Many of you might know that my wife is in the hospital at OSU at Ohio State. She had back surgery Friday, and I just dropped her off and came home. No, not really. But I'm going back up tomorrow morning, and hopefully she'll be able to get out. She had some braces put in her spine and some of the spine cut out. So it was a kind of a five-hour surgery up there at Ohio State. So just if you would, I appreciate keeping her in your prayers. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open up to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. I want to tell you that we have a problem in our world today. A major problem, and it's sin. I don't know if you would agree with that or not. I hope that you would, but we do have a major problem called sin today. And what we have to do as Christians is we have to help those people find the freedom from their sins. And I hope that you're active in that. I hope that you're looking around, because all you have to do is open your eyes and you're going to find people that are lost today and that need Jesus Christ. You can look at your neighbor. You can look at the people down the road. All you have to do is go out to the restaurants and look at people, and you know that there are people out there that are lost. We know that the majority of the people in our area, even in this town of Flatwoods, they're not Christians, or else our building would be packed, and your building would be overflowing, and you'd have to build a bigger one. And so we've got a lot of work to do. But this sin is like a leprosy. And we're going to look at a guy here by the name of Naaman, who had leprosy. He had a problem, and he needed to seek out the solution in order to be healed. What happens a lot of times is these people out there in the world, they kind of sit back and they stay right in that area and they don't look for their healing, their spiritual healing. They don't get out and they don't search for it. They don't find it either. What we need to do is go and maybe search them out. Jesus says to go. You know, you can stand at the back door and smile as big as you want and open up that door and look as pretty as you want, but you're not going to get people in unless you go to them. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, he said, "All authority has been given to me, both in heaven and earth. Go, therefore." Go. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all these things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." In Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." The gospel is the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. This might be a really good week to go out and start talking to some people, because people might have their minds on what society has called Easter for next Sunday. And they might be thinking that maybe have heard some things at work, or maybe at school, or maybe down, you know, wherever they go, or maybe with family members, they hear their family members are going off, you know, they're planning to go to their denominations or wherever. And maybe they know you're friends with them, and they're thinking, you know, more about church. And this might be the great opportunity to get into their heart and talk to them a little bit about Jesus and to share with them a little bit about Christ. Well, we find this man Naaman here in 2 Kings chapter 5. He was an amazing person. It says that he was the commander of the army of the king of Syria. He was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. He didn't have any fear. He was courageous. But a leper. He had leprosy. If you don't know much about leprosy, it's not a very pleasant disease. It's not something that you really would want to get or anyone else in your family to get. It will attack the nerves and it will attack the endings, and your fingers will die, and some will actually lose fingers and toes. You can actually lose pieces of your nose and your ears, and so it could really, you could look at someone and they could look hideous to you. And you could think about that he had this disease, and maybe people would step back from him, and it maybe compromised his leadership abilities. Well, the Syrians had gone out upon raids and had brought back a captive young girl from the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman's wife. Then she, this little young girl from Israel, said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." She is talking about the prophet Elisha. Said, I know someone that can actually take this away and actually can heal you. Do you know anybody that's bound to sin today? What we can do is we need to go up to him and say, "Look, I know someone that can take this burden of sin away from you. This is what you got to do. You come up out of the world, you repent of your past. You go into the water grave of baptism, and God comes in and he washes away your sins," Colossians 2. And then you're raised out of that water grave to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. And you're a new creation. Focus now, you can focus on heaven. The sin has been washed away, and now you're on the right road. That's the good news. And this is Israelite girl had this great news of salvation, of healing for Naaman. Naaman had a couple choices to make. Naaman could have ignored it. He could have just said, or he could have said, "There's no way that this could happen. I don't believe that anybody can take away this disease." Or he could have submitted to it and gone and searched it out. Let's look and see what happens. In verse 4, Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel." Then the king of Samaria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel. Wait a minute, what did the girl say? Where was Naaman to go? To go to Elisha, not the king of Israel. Look at what the letter said. "Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, king of Israel, that you, king of Israel, may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." Kind of the lesson that I get from this one is the idea that sometimes people are sent to the wrong person, sent to the wrong church to find the answers. Listen, friends, brethren, there's a lot of false doctrine and false teaching that's out there in our world today. There is false teaching, the teaching that once saved, always saved. That all you have to do is believe in Jesus, have faith only, and you'll be saved. That you say the sinner's prayer and it will save you. Number one, the sinner's prayer is nowhere in the Bible. And the only place that you can find faith only is in one scripture in James chapter 2, where it says, "Not by faith alone," or faith only. That there is something that baptism does save. It is essential. I've heard people say, "Well, show me a verse." All right, 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism does also now save us. It's not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, what about another one? Can you show me any others? Sure. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. Amen. What do you mean it washes away my sins? Can you give me a verse that says that that baptism washes away my sins? Sure, Acts 22:16. And what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The Bible is very clear. God is very clear. God's not going to leave you out there to just kind of come up with it on your own. And I think a lot of people have tried to do that. And they'll send you to the wrong place. So be very careful. Go to this word. Go to the Bible and search it. If anybody says anything, if I say something, go and make sure that what I'm saying is right. Make sure I'm not making any mistakes. You know, there's sometimes that things up here sound really good and sound right and straight and everything, but they don't always come out here exactly the way that I want them to. So be very careful. Make sure that I'm saying the right things. I don't mean to say or to lead anyone astray or say anything wrong. So keep me in check as well. Well, so it was in verse 8 when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes. They sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes?" In other words, why are you so angry? What's got you up, you know, so upset? "Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." You know, sometimes when you're at work and you hear other people talking, and maybe someone is from a denomination, please step up. Don't be afraid to take that person. Maybe there's a person that's asking questions, and they're asking the wrong one. They're getting the wrong answers. Don't be afraid to share the gospel of truth with that person. Don't be afraid to take your Bibles and to open up your Bibles with them, maybe at lunchtime or after work or before work, or invite them into your homes and have a study with them, or invite them to worship on Sunday morning and Sunday night, Bible study on Wednesday night, and other opportunities that you have. So we can get into their hearts, get into their lives, take the initiative, just like Elisha did. He took the initiative to find out and to direct Naaman in the right direction. Then verse 9 says, "And the Naaman went and his horses and with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean.'" How simple is that? See, and when we think about the gospel message is very simple. It's so plain. I mean, we look and you can just look at Jesus' words himself. We've already quoted the verse, Mark 16:16. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." How simple. Is there another way I can say it? No, Jesus said it better than I could ever come up with. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. 1 + 1 = 2. That's how simple that is. And then the second part of it says, "He that does not believe will be condemned." If you don't have one, then you can't have two. You cannot equal two. See, that verse is, by the way, is a mathematical equation. Young people, you want to go to school and share with your teachers. Say, "I've got a mathematical equation out of the Bible. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Belief plus baptism equals salvation. 1 + 1 = 2. Something to share with them. But notice what Naaman's response was. Was he happy? Remember, Naaman is self-righteous almost in a little bit. He is high and mighty, and he expects the best. He expects the best, would expect the best from his men, his soldiers, and himself, because he's in a high position. So he'd expect that maybe if the king can't talk to him, then yes, this prophet of God, this mighty prophet of God would come and talk to him. But Naaman became furious and went away angry and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. He wanted some kind of exciting fireworks, all these great, beautiful things to happen, for Elisha to come out and kind of jump up and down and wave his hand over him and say all these wonderful words, beautiful words to him. What did Elijah do? He said, sent a servant out, and the servant came out and said, hey, go down to the Jordan and wash 7 times, and you're going to be clean. And the servant goes back. Thing is that sometimes people in this world, they want a lot of excitement, and they want a lot of pomp and circumstance, and they want fireworks, and they want all these. And Jesus says, believe and be baptized, and you'll be saved. That's it. But no, Jesus, I want the Holy Spirit to come down. I want all this fire to come down. I want to be raised up and lifted and do all. No, believe and be baptized, and you'll be saved. Well, amen, Jesus, but can't you just have like maybe a little bit of maybe turn the sun dark or something when it, nope, believe, be baptized, you'll be saved. He goes on, Naaman does, and says, are not the Ampna and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all these rivers of Israel? He's almost disgusted with Jordan River. He said, could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, wash and be clean? You would have done this great, wonderful thing. You would have climbed all the high mountains and you would have done, you know, these great feats and done all these wonderful things, but he just came out and he said, wash and be clean. Real simple. Well, Naaman thought about it, didn't he? Because in the next verse, so he went down and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was clean. Let me ask a question. Was he cleansed after the first dip? No. Was he cleansed after the second one? He was in the Jordan. He had dipped already 2 times. When he came up that second time, was he clean? No. What about the third time? He had to be. I mean, he could have just done it 3 times, right, and been clean? Absolutely not. Wait a minute. It was up to 7 times, so I mean, you got to tell me that at least on the 6th time he was partly clean, right? No, he wasn't clean at all. In fact, the 6th time he come up out of the water, he was had just as much leprosy as he did the first time he came up. It wasn't until that 7th time when he went under and came up that he was cleansed. You mean, preacher, I got to believe and be baptized in order to be saved? I got to do both? Why can't I just believe? Because you're not saved yet. You want salvation. Well, what if I believe the gospel to be true and I repent of my sins? What happens then if I die? You're lost. You mean I still got my sins on me? Absolutely. But I believe with all my heart. Well, all you got to do is look at James chapter 2 and see that even the demons believe and tremble, right? And are they saved? No. All right, well, I've repented. Now, I'm going to make a good confession that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, because I remember in Acts chapter 8 that the Ethiopian eunuch made that great confession. But the question is, was he saved after that confession? Not yet. We have to have our sins washed away And the point of baptism, when we come up out of the water of grave, then our sins are washed away. Now, let me let you understand something. We all understand that if I don't believe, I can go into the water 100 times and it's not going to do anything for me. Because remember, Jesus says, believe and be baptized, and you'll have salvation. If I don't repent, I can go under the water 100 times and I'm still not going to be saved because I haven't repented. Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. After a question, the question was from the people, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, you must repent and you must be baptized. If I don't repent and I'm going to the water, I come up just wet. I don't come up saved. And also then, after I come up out of the watery grave, I've got to live a faithful life. My chores are not done. Everything in life is not finished at that point. I've got to live the faithful life. Revelation 2, verse 10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And what does that mean? What does that faithfulness mean? Faithfulness means that I've got to grow in the Spirit. I've got to grow in Christ. But it also means I've got to serve. I think that being a Christian is like a two-sided coin. One side is that I've got to make sure that, yes, my heart is right and my life is right, and that I'm training my heart and everything I do is correct. But the other side, I've also got to serve. I cannot sit back and say, well, I've done what I need to do. Whew, I'm glad that's over. I'm just going to lay back and I'm going to enjoy the ride. No, because we've got to step it up. And we've got to open up our eyes to opportunities of service to other people. I've got to go out and I've got to help, start helping people. You see, what sometimes happens is that there are people out there right now, tonight. I know that there are. And they're trying to see the cross of Jesus Christ. They're trying to see, but they've got all this haze in front of them. They've got all this stuff that's out there in front of them. And they can't see the cross. Maybe it's hunger. Maybe it's some sort of addiction. Maybe it's other things that they've got that's putting a haze up and they can't see the cross. We as servants of God, that we can be the ones to remove that haze so they can see the cross clearly. If it's hunger, we give them the food that they need. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25? He said to the person, if they are hungry and you feed them, if they are naked and you clothe them, if they are sick, you visit them, if they are in prison, you take care of them, all these things, then you, when you do these things to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto him. Correct? We got to be servants. Servants of the Most High. Are you serving God? Are you serving others? Or are you just serving yourself? If you're not a Christian, you're serving just yourself. Yeah, you can have all the accolades of the world, and you can like Naaman did, where he had all these great things that he had done, and he was a man of valor, but he had some problems and he had some issues. A major, major problem, and that was that leprosy. Where are you at tonight, spiritually? Are you with God, or are you have you walked away from him? Or have you never been with him before? I said, if you're not a Christian, you haven't been with him at all. Never have. You're not there yet. So you need to repent. You need to take yourself and come up out of the world. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 says that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 says that we must obey that gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. How do I obey a death, burial, and resurrection? A literal physical thing that happened in history. How do I obey that? I obey his death by myself dying, not physically, but death is a separation. I have to come up out of the world. I have to separate myself from the world. Romans chapter 6, verse 2 says, how can we who died to sin live any longer in it? I must separate, come up out of that. But I come up out of the world, I'm 30. It's like, you know, you go roll around. I had pigs when I was real little. I mean, my dad was the one that kind of owned them. I just rode them. And I would fall off in that mud and get it all over me, and I'd come up out of the pig pen. I came out of the pig pen, but I still had the stuff on me, the mud and the dirt, everything else that I was rolling around in. And my mom would stop me at the door and says, nope, go hose yourself off before you can come in. You cannot come in to this house looking like that. You cannot get into the body of Christ looking like you do out in the world. You must first be washed and have your sins washed away. And that's through the blood of Jesus that happens at baptism. Maybe you've done these things. You've drifted back into the world. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's going on in your heart. God does. God can see everything that's going on in your life. He knows what's hurting you spiritually, what you're suffering with spiritually, and the sins that you're going through, that you're addicted to. Come out of that once again and turn back to Him. Because, see, God hasn't gone anywhere. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We are the ones that walk away. We're the ones that leave. God's still there. We're the ones that turn our back and try to walk away from God. And when we turn back, who do we see? God's right there. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's right there to help you tonight if you need it. One of the elders will come and sit with you and talk with you and pray with you. And if you need to obey the gospel, that can be carried out this evening as well. I want to tell you this, please, tonight, do not leave this building if you're lost. Don't. But come to Jesus as together we stand and as we sing.
Come to Jesus, He will save you, though your sins as crimson glow. If you give your heart to Jesus, He will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, do not tarry, enter in at mercy's gate. Oh, delay not till the thy coming be too late. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, dying sinner, other Savior there is none. He will share with you His glory when your is done. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today.
Be seated.